Tracy Bertrand. 140 on WGN. This is John Williams. The sun is shining just outside our showcase studio windows on Michigan Ave. People are still bundled up like it's, I don't know, March or April, for crying out loud, but better than it's been lately. In fact, wasn't today supposed to be widely scattered Armageddon? I thought we were going to have rain and snow and all kinds of terrible weather. Do you remember, Mark, hearing about that?
I do. And I also want to thank your producer for playing Beastie Boys before I came on. That's one of my favorite band of all time.
I think she knows that.
Yeah, like we feel the connection here.
Elif, well done. Mark Baser's in our studio. You see him on the interview show when he does it live and in person. And now Channel 11, the PBS affiliate in town, runs episodes of his stand-up show as its own television show.
That's right.
How about
that's
that?
Right. That's right. How about it?
Nobody's more shocked than me. Trust me.
It's amazing. What?
It's amazing. You've always amazed me.
I just did it so you wouldn't just be befuddled by why I was doing it just in a live audience.
Well, but I don't want to talk a lot about this, but I mean, when you first started to scratch this itch, if I want to do an interview on stage, it's a comedy talk hybrid kind of thing. Did you imagine that would develop into a television program right here in town?
I always said that I wanted to just do it to enjoy it, but yes.
Sure.
Yes,
but I mean, why not?
Why not be ambitious
about your talent?
Yeah, and I always had this idea that we could do it in a place that was not like a studio, just that was in the place that we were always doing it, which is the Hideout, which is a small bar music venue, and that part of the appeal was having that kind of, how do you bring the live show feel to TV, which you don't necessarily get in a studio? Even the greatest talk shows, even the ones that are at the Ed Sullivan Theater, you get a little of that, but it still feels a little, doesn't feel like it's a real place that people are going other times.
Right, yeah. They didn't just happen to be there and, hey, I'm doing this cool show in front of all you cool people.
Yeah.
Although, actually, you sell tickets for your show. The next one is tomorrow, Friday night, and that show is sold out.
Sold out.
I guess that show will, are they going to take
the
that
key
for
to selling
TV?
Thing now is to limit the number of tickets, is what I've learned.
Wait, you sold all 17 of them.
Five tickets.
But are they taping these ones?
Yeah, we're taping. So we just finished our second season, which just aired, and it's airing again, because the beautiful thing about TTW is that they air things again, and so let's say you forget what happened, and it was so exciting the first time, you need to hear that conversation
this
again.
This isn't important, but of all of the shows you've done, do you keep track of the ratings, and where does the one that you interviewed me stack up compared to all of the other ones you've done?
The weird thing about that one was that nobody watched it.
Really?
Like, it's the first time ever.
Geez.
No, you know, that was, you know,
I
what,
would like to think someone
that
saw
was
that.
My that they the ratings I do keep track, or they keep track for me, and it did pretty well. The show did well. It did better than it. So that we just had our second season. It did better than the first season, and it's climbing, which is nice. And your episode, both oddly, was like right of the moment. Even though we aired it before the moment. I mean, we filmed it before the moment.
Because
we filmed it, if you recall, and I'm sure you do, right before the election, when a lot of people thought the election was going to go a different way than it did. And so I think
you can say it.
We huddled 5 minutes.
You can say it.
We nobody
it's kind of hard, but go ahead and say it.
Nobody thought that we'd be in this situation.
Do you ever do that? Do you ever wake up and just go, it's happening. This is my life. This is really happening.
Well, the weird thing about it is, normally it is, this is my life. It's happening. Whereas now it's, this is everybody's life.
This is Earth's life.
Yeah,
this is really happening.
That's never, I mean, I'm sure it's happened.
It's not a good feeling.
But it's not happening the way it's happened here.
Actually, it's not a good feeling to me. It may be a great feeling to you. I get it. But it's just so bizarre. Even you, the person who every day goes, hooray, another day in America. Even you must be thinking, but I can't believe it's happening. Woohoo! Nobody can believe it's happening. Back to you, already in progress.
Yeah, and so we filmed that episode
right before
what is happening happened, and we huddled like 5 minutes before and said, hey, you've done it longer than I, but there's a chance that what we think is going to happen is not going to happen, and what is happening now will be happening, if you follow.
Let's
just say things. Let's just say things that are, what did we do? Are true about both candidates? They both have ears. Like, that was the conversation, and it felt really of the moment, because the new president did have ears.
I was parsing my words so carefully as we spoke, because I thought, I can't assume that we know what's going to happen, even though 90% of the people in the room thought they did. So that was my episode. Now, who's coming up on their next show?
So tomorrow we have Lynn Bramer of another radio station, WXRT, morning show.
Great DJs in America.
And I've hounded him forever, and every time I try to get him on, we do it Friday nights, and he's always either says, Mark, I have to be at a concert, or Mark, I don't want to.
those are two compelling reasons.
Yeah, those
not
are both, are both
about,
valid.
Is
both
it about
totally
50-50?
Valid. But somehow.
Hold on, I think Steve said something very interesting. What was that, Steve?
Well, does Lynn use those excuses 50-50, or does he weigh one more than the other?
I would say more often just says he plain in fact doesn't want to do it. And then once he said he had a show to go to.
So I made it sound
like it was 50-50. Yeah. But so we got him this time, and I'm looking forward to that. And then Tracy Letts, who's a Pulitzer Prize winning playwright, whose play I saw last night at Steppenwolf.
What's the show?
It's called Linda Vista, and it is about, I don't know if you'll relate to this at all, it's about like just a 50-something-year-old straight white male. And their plight in the world today.
They never make stories about us.
But this is the absolute like recognition of that fact, and the absolute like
stop
complaining, but yet we feel you is the way I came away from it. Like,
wow.
This guy is as self-absorbed as you can be, and he makes and it's also and you he gets called out for it. Over and over again, but at the end you're like, I feel bad for this dude because he's a real person.
Everything's relative. Your pain is your pain. You can't be somebody else. You can only be you. My wife every now and then will call me out on that. She'll say, you got to remember, you are a white male living in 2017 who's thin and has hair. You really don't have much, you know.
I think Louis C.K. said something like this. He said, this is the worst time ever to be a straight white male, and it's still better than everybody else.
Fair enough. I was going to do a rock and roll band, and when I do, I still think I should do this. I got to find some people that can play instruments and sing, but then we're going to have a band, and we're going to call it Adjustable Rate Mortgage ARM, and it'll speak, you know, I mean, because that's something that men in their 50s have had to grapple with. Well, what kind of mortgage will we get? Are we going to have a family? How are we going to afford? Those are the things that guys like me think about. You know, we don't think about the issues that most pop and music generally sings about. You know, we don't have a pickup truck. I can't even relate to country lyrics, for crying out loud. There's nobody singing about my issues. So I want to form a band called ARM. That'll be the think about that ARM. It'll be on our tattoos. We'll tattoo ARM on our arms, and then maybe we'll put leg on our arms, or we'll put ARM on our legs. That'll
be totally.
I think
you've had a great chance because you're the only demographic left that still buys records.
We have some money. Nobody's singing to us. Nobody's talking about my real estate angst. I have real estate issues.
But don't you want to go see, and I'll conclude myself in this lot because I love him, Bruce Springsteen singing about what it used to be like. If Springsteen got up there and started singing about adjustable rate mortgages, A, you'd be like, look at Bruce, you're doing fine. And second of all, no, I just want to go, I want to get out of town again.
Yeah, right. I guess so. I don't know. I'd still like somebody to just do something about variable life annuities or points on mortgages. Maybe these are lines in that song.
The key is the rhyming, I think. <That's what you're... laughs>
I don't know exactly how that song goes, but I want somebody to speak to things I can feel today. Ain't nobody doing that music.
I hear you. I'm 43 and 50, for some reason, I have it in my mind.
Nah, 50's a breeze. It's not hard.
Yeah?
Yeah, it sounds like a gigantic number. I think 40 sucks more than 50, to be honest.
I like the 40s. 50, my fear is when you're 50, my fear is being irrelevant. My fear is that people out there say,
I don't know if I can speak for John,
we don't need you.
We both kind of became irrelevant long before 50.
That ship sailed. Be married 15 years. You've already had somebody go, yeah, whatever.
That's true.
And by the way, I love my wife, Brenda. Thank you very much for all you do for us.
Hi, Brenda.
But I get that. I think a lot of people who are my age either pass on it or they fight it. But the very act of having to fight your relevance in terms of social devices or platforms or lingo or conversations, the fact that you're fighting it already shows that you're on the other side of relevance to a lot of people.
And the fact that we are discussing fighting this also
okay.
is like, who cares?
Then
I think, but I want to care about myself.
In the movie about my band, they're going to say, oh, nobody's going to listen to your music. Who's going to go to your shows? And then the curtain opens and they walk out and it's a bunch of people out there. And they will go, yeah, I do care. Those are issues that are relevant to me. And hey, the song's got a nice hook. I think I like this band. That could happen. I don't know why I'm telling you this.
We have another guest on the show. Okay. His name is Stephen Cohn, and he made this movie, Henry Gamble's Birthday Party, and it's an ensemble piece. It was filmed up in Highland Park. It's kind of like, and it's about a guy, it's about a whole family who live in a very religious kind of like mega church community, and the young high school kid is wrestling with his sexuality. He's gay. And he knows it, but he doesn't really want to quite admit it to himself yet. And it all takes place at his birthday party, which is a pool party, which brings up all kinds of interesting ironies. And visuals, and also just like it's this very – and it's very, very sympathetic to – it's not like we're anti the Christian movement. Like this filmmaker grew up in it. He still loves his parents, had a great childhood and everything like that. But it's dealing with kind of the complexities of being – on the one hand, shunning the body, and on the other hand, let's all get in the pool.
Yeah. Are you going to talk to this guest about Barry Manilow coming out yesterday?
Hey, how about that? Who knew?
I know. Could have knocked me over with a feather. I went, really? He hasn't already come out? I thought we sort of assumed that.
But still cool. Cool, right?
It just speaks to the fact that it must be more difficult than even today we can imagine. Because what does Barry Manilow care? He waited until he was 73. I mean, people that are in the twilight of their careers and feel I have nothing monetarily to lose, or are late enough in life that they figure, oh, hell, I want to get this off my chest. That still happens. I mean, it's amazing to me. You know, we think we're liberated. We think we're past that point. We're clearly not. It took Barry until yesterday to say, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, he also grew up in a completely different generation.
I guess so. But I think much sooner than this, he could have said it. I mean,
like people did people not know at one point that Liberace was gay? Like, what was going on there?
I don't know. But when Rosie came out, my mom was shocked. And we said, really, Mom, you didn't know? We didn't talk about it. We didn't feel the need. It didn't come up.
I think that was the point, John. And Mark, the people just didn't approach it. You know, you didn't ask. So, I mean, Liberace was out there, but it just was so far from people's conscience. I don't know.
Yeah.
Was it willful denial?
They preferred not to.
But in an era where we would have judged or not afforded him rights, everybody loved him, and he seemed to be happy. He was having a great time.
Yeah, he was having a great time taking his protege and making him look exactly like him.
But had he come out, he would have suffered for it.
Exactly. Even though clearly he was.
Right. Everyone knew. We just won't say it, and we'll watch your fabulous TV shows.
I need to pause. The interview show is Mark Baser's program, both on TV and on stage. The Friday night show, once again, sold out. All 5 tickets have been paid for. So congratulations to you on that.
Yeah, but they're each $5,000.
The TV show continues to run in sort of reruns on Channel 11, but these episodes are being recorded. If you want to follow Mark and maybe get into the show, and it's a really fun room, you have a beer, you're all standing there, some people are sitting, it's just such a nice, fun room, you are so good on that stage, and then it's neat to see it turned into a TV show.
Thank you.
What's the website to go to? Is it The Interview Show?
TheInterviewShowChicago.com, and the next one is May 5th. So then that will be good.
The next show on stage.
And we have Jeff Morrow, who is the sandwich king of the world on the Food Network, and he's a great guest. And then Kelly Hogan, who's a musician, and she's been touring with one of your favorite bands, the Decemberists.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and she's awesome, awesome.
Well, you are too, Mark. It's nice to see you. Congratulations on all you do. By the way, when you do watch the episode that they're recording to tomorrow night, you'll be able to see Mark's haircut, and thumbs up on the haircut.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's an issue with my wife because she says every time I show up with a slightly different haircut, and that professionals on television always
pretty much look the same every night.
The exact same.
If you don't tend to that, then it'll be like, wow, his hair's longer today. How will I process this information? It would be upsetting to people.
How would you ever follow the conversation if there's a hair out of place?
Nice to see you, Mark. Remember, theinterviewshow.com.